Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So this is Matthew 5, 21 through 24, and you can see it on the screen. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, and this is the part I want you to hear. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has said something against you, or has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. Now the gist of what Jesus wants, as we're going through WJWD, what Jesus wants done, the gist of what Jesus wants us to do is realize that our relationship with God will be distracted if our relationships with our brothers and sisters are also distracted. See, it turns out from this and a few other passages of scripture that God would actually rather us miss out on all of our rituals of worship and make peace with each other and live in holy communion than to come here, wave our hands around, say some prayers, hear a message, and pretend everything is really going on fine in our lives. So confession may be good for the soul, but it's also one of those awkward religious things we have to do. It's awkward when we have to confess not just to God, but we have to confess to each other that perhaps we might be awkward in one of the relationships that we suffer throughout. But there are two awkward truths, a juxtaposition, I guess you could call it, about church that we have to know. And that number one, the church is the legit body of Christ, empowered and given authority by the Holy Spirit toward Christ's mission in the world. Awkward because we are placing ourselves really as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. But awkward too, because the church, if you look around, is made up of a lot of awkward human beings. Many of us more awkward than the other. Which means we gather together for worship and some awkward things happen. The awkward moment when the preacher asks you to read a scripture verse only to get on stage and realize you have no idea how to pronounce Abimelech. That awkward moment when you sneeze in the communion cup and pretend like no one noticed. I did that once, actually. But then the awkward moment when you're the next person in line passionately waiting to receive Christ's blood and the server has just sneezed in the communion cup. And it's always awkward when we ask anybody to stand, especially new people, but that awkward moment when we ask visitors to raise their hand and you realize that you've been visiting the church for 6 to 7 years. The awkward moment when you put a dollar in the offering plate but take 50 cents out because you want to make sure you can get a donut on the way home. The awkward moment when you sing, I Will Rise, while you're seated. And that awkward moment when the preacher has previewed a movie clip from the movie Rudy while on the phone with his realtor, only to miss a few inappropriate words that are later played in worship. And then that awkward moment when the preacher is stopped after worship and told, I would actually come to church way more often if you would cuss some more. But let's face it, sometimes we make mistakes. We make mistakes on all ends of our worship spectrum that everyone talks at lunch about later. Admittedly, the worship staff, we always need to improve our communication, our pre-planning. We can always get better in what we do. But we and everyone ever who's made a mistake during a worship service where they're representing the high, holy, almighty God are really glad, for the most part, people realize that awkward mistakes sometimes just happen. But there's a different awkwardness about worship that Jesus tells us about in our passage from the Sermon on the Mount today that we read earlier from Matthew. And I want to read the last part with me again. If you read the last part of Matthew 5, that'll be on the screen. There we go. We'll read the last from So When. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. It's that awkward moment of conviction when we just want to hear a message and sing songs and forget about the rest of our lives. Now, I need to preface that worship is a 24-hour a day, 365-day a year dedication of your life that gives thanksgiving and asks for mercy from the God who loves us. But the 1 hour a week that we set aside to come and we come together and praise and we pray, we receive a message, we join together in giving thanks for all the joys and concerns and support for the concerns in our life, there's a special offering about that. It's that 1 hour when you specifically offer yourself to God in worship, and you call it worship. It's that formal time of ritual and of pattern that we get together and say all of those things, come before God fully in presence. It's a special time to be vulnerable in our singing and our hearing of the message. And most people expect that it's going to be this time throughout the week that will actually be when God speaks to them and moves them into action more than any other time in their daily devotional life or any time in life. It's that awkward moment when you surrender all and render yourself completely vulnerable to the words of Jesus. But it's also sometimes that awkward moment when you wish Jesus just didn't say anything at all. Those awkward moments when you realize that you have not loved your neighbor as yourself. When you realize you have not forgiven those who trespass against you, yet you line up seeking forgiveness for yourself, for myself. The awkwardness of hearing about the importance of justice in God's kingdom and going home and realizing that we turn off the TV every time we see a starving child because we don't want that image seared in our mind. And the awkwardness that we never admit to our awkwardness moments. And we often go about waving our hands and praying in earnest that, ironically, the God in Micah 6, 7 through 8 says, cares more about our relationships than he does our rituals of worship. Now, in Matthew 18, later on in Matthew from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells this great story. And we've come to call it the parable of the wicked servant. And so to modernize it a little bit, it goes like this. That this master of a massive vineyard decided that he wanted to settle account with all of his tenant farmers, that they had been renting land from him and working the land, and it was time for him to collect the debts that he should be paid based upon their agreement to contract out that space. And so the master knows of this one servant who had taken a particularly ambitious goal out, and he owed the master $10,000. And so the master calls him into his office and lays it down and says, you owe me $10,000 and you better have it right now. You've been working the land long enough. I should have my money by now. And this servant essentially just breaks down. Who has $10,000 just lying around anywhere? I work for you. I'm not the owner of a big company. Please take mercy on me. Forgive me for my debt. Just please let me work some more. Let me just try. And the master's original plan was to sell him, sell his children, sell his wife, probably to different places throughout whatever the country is. But he hears this compassionate plea, and he realizes the faces of the wife and the faces of the children and realizes the importance of those bonds. He realizes the impossible nature of what he's asking. And he says, okay, you can go. But this man, this wicked servant, whatever it is that he heard from the master's words, quickly goes and finds the man who owes him money. Maybe he heard the word debt and it just triggered this mind of, that man owes me money, and he didn't hear anything else that happened, but he goes straight to this other tenant farmer who owes him $100. And he says, you owe me $100, and this master's asking for my money. I need my money, and so you better give me my $100 or else bad things are gonna happen. I will throw you in jail for the rest of your life until you can pay me my $100. And this second worker falls on his knees. No, please have mercy on me. I know that I subcontracted your land. I know I owe you $100. I'm working really, really hard. Crops just didn't come in this year. I promise you it will be yours. I will pay you back. And the first worker, his next action is to call the police and sends him to jail. Doesn't care a thing about what he said. Doesn't care a thing about what happened. Doesn't care a thing about his family. Doesn't care a thing about that other person. The question I have is, does that wicked servant hear anything that the master said who forgave him? Did he not experience some moment of completely ignorant bliss? Why on earth would he let me out of this? Why on earth would he forgive me of this? Why on earth, the grudge that he has against me that is in a legal format, in a monetary format, why on earth would he let me go from this? Why on earth would he forgive me? You'd think a moment like this would have just rocked his world. Just turned it upside down. You think a moment like this would make you grateful for the things that you have, the life that you have, no matter how big or small, just the opportunity to breathe free air at this moment would make you grateful. And most importantly, I'm thinking that this man ought to be grateful for the relationships that he's able to save with his wife and kids not being sold to other owners. Now, forget the words of the master for just a second. Forget what he might have heard or not heard. But is he not listening to his own emotions in this moment? Is he not listening to his own soul crying out in relief, crying out in thanksgiving for the forgiveness that he's been offered? Apparently not. I can only assume, like I said, when he heard the word debt, while he was standing in line to beg forgiveness from the master, he just simply thought back to that other servant. He was preoccupied with his own grudge. He was preoccupied with everything that he was leaving behind, that everything he had in his life to deal with. And then he did anything and everything to make sure that he got his back after his debt had been canceled. See, I think when he heard the word debt, his mind was already made up on how he was going to deal with the other servant. And he missed out on everything that the master might have been saying to him. See, it's that awkward moment that we've probably all had, including myself, when your own pride gets in the way of anything that God would say to you in that moment. See, pride is at the center of all the scriptures that we mentioned today. Pride is actually at the center of most of the scriptures of the Bible that condemn the human race. Because to offer ourselves in worship is to offer your pride to God. It's to submit yourself in this moment. Otherwise, it's not worship. And remember, worship is not simply singing songs and hearing a message. Worship is a life giving up to God, life given up to God, a life of commitment to grace and thanksgiving. But if you are unable in your own relationships to submit your pride, if you're unable to forgive out of your own pride, and carry that into a relationship with God in worship where you beg forgiveness and you seek mercy and you seek completion, then is your pride not getting in the way? And your worship means very little because you're not able to lay down yourself fully. Forgiveness is actually more about what's inside of you than it is about absolution of the other person. Forgiveness is about the power that you want to hold over somebody else. Forgiveness is about the hurt that somebody else caused you that you cannot let go of. Forgiveness is about perhaps our own insecurities and that we seek to have control over the people that threaten us. We seek to have control over those things that we have no control of. And so when we enter into worship to God, those are all at the back of our minds. They're distracting us. Now, we always say, give those to God. And absolutely, this is the right place. It's right to pray to God. It's right to do all those things, to seek God's counsel in those matters. But when we come to worship and we are so jaded by our grudges and our pride, when we go to our daily devotional readings, we go on a mission trip, we go to anything that you can constitute as worship, and we have this nagging feeling in the back of our minds that they owe us money. They haven't given me the forgiveness that I deserve. They have not given me the peace that I deserve. They don't give me the credit that I deserve. And we continue having these nagging thoughts in the back of our mind, then what good are you in your experience with God? Because you will not hear what God is telling you. Because to hear what God is telling us, we have to lay ourselves down for God. We have to submit all of us to God to hear what God is saying to us. We have to give out our entire life in order to hear what God is saying to us. Which in essence is that awkward moment when you lose control of your life. When we come to worship with grudges that we are never planning on settling, when we come to worship withholding forgiveness that we are never planning to give, when we come to worship with beefs against other people that we never plan on reconciling or at least settling, then there is a part of you that is not letting go of control. There's a part of you that is telling God that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And there's a part of you unwilling to put yourself fully out there with God in life. And so worship may be fun. It may be impactful. It may be challenging. But it's not as good as it could be. It's not the feeling of laying down your entire life. Your daily devotions will mean so much more. Your mission trips will mean so much more. Your administrative work with the church will mean so much more. Everything with your relationship with God will mean so much more if we take the time to seek peace, if we take the time to reconcile, and if we take the challenge to realize that relationships mean more to God than any hand raised in the air, than any offering we put in the plate, than any volunteer service we do for the church. Because without the wholeness of our relationships, then nothing gets done. Without the wholeness of relationships, we never seek to become unbroken in our walk with God. So Jesus tells ourselves that if we're standing in line to offer ourselves, to lay ourselves down at the feet of God as our living, breathing offering in worship, and we have a grudge against somebody, or we know they've got a beef with us because of what we've done, then it's best to go home. Doesn't look very good on the numbers sheet for David Lesner's bridge service. But I could care less about that if it means that you've got a better relationship at home, a better relationship with friends, a better relationship with God. Because when you do walk back through that door, I'm telling you that you should be here every week. I always tell you that. But when you are able to walk back through that door, having experienced forgiveness and having given forgiveness, then the words, the bread of Christ broken for you, or the body of Christ broken for you, and the words, the body of Christ, or the blood of Christ shed for you, will mean so much more. Because you will have realized forgiveness. You have realized that awkward moment when you lose control of your life. And so I leave you with a challenge. If you knew that you would get more out of worship, and you knew you'd be a more effective disciple in the world, you knew that you would completely submit yourself to God and lay down your life as an offering, you knew that you would have, out of all of that, a greater peace with Christ and an understanding of this world, if you got up right now and left while everyone else was sitting down, so that you could offer forgiveness to somebody that you've been denying, would you risk that awkward moment? Let's pray. Gracious God, you have put people in our paths, people to love, people to cherish, people to admire, people to seek your will with and through. And God, we are broken people. We are awkward people. We stumble often. And we ask that we would have the courage to submit ourselves fully to you. And what you call us to do is to forgive, to reconcile, to make peace in this world so that your will might truly be done. God, we know that if we come seeking your forgiveness yet refuse to forgive ourselves, then we don't get it. And so God, we are awkward. Help us to be whole again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysunc.org. Have a blessed day.